Hello, my beauties. Welcome to a new episode of the podcast. Warning, nothing will be explicit. The warning is that this will be a real life version of the podcast. Now, I am a creative, as you may know, and so I actually like if I hear sounds. So I'm taking you right now into my kitchen, and I am making a soup. And so I thought, why not record an episode of the podcast? My theme, I'm going to start the podcast talking a little bit about burnout. But you are in the kitchen with me, and let me know if you enjoy it. One of the things I'm trying to break down here is I was listening to a wonderful African PhD person, he's a former psychotherapist, and I have to look up his name. I will add it into the show notes. One of the things he's talking about is this, it was really fascinating. It was brilliant. He was presenting to my Buddhist embodied psychology program that I'm in, that I'm taking a year-long program in. And one of the things he talked about is how we are basically, again, obvious, but he linked things together so beautifully. He talked about how we're constrained and trained to, it was in the context of therapy and healing, and how healing someone to place them back in a system that is deeply dysfunctional and broken or harmful, is that really healing? And so how does that link into the podcast being like a real life recording? He talked about these norms that almost deny our humanity. And so what I'm thinking as I'm recording this for you is this idea in terms of a podcast is this absolutely pristine studio sound, where there's no birds, there's nothing, there's just the disembodied voice and maybe a little intro. Can you see that connection that I'm making? So today, rather than not putting a podcast together, which I love to do, but when I have the very perfectionistic ideals of the perfect podcast that I've been told and I see modeled by others, that then stops me when I'm not meeting that goal, when in fact, you might thoroughly enjoy being in the kitchen with me. We're making a white bean kale soup. And so let me know if you like these types of episodes. I'm looking for some garlic now. And as you're listening to me, you might be in the car or doing something in your daily life. And so there's no need to constrain yourself as you listen to me. So I'm sauteing some onions. I'm going to put some garlic. And the white beans are already cooked. They were frozen. And I'm just boiling them now in some filtered water. And then I'm going to build the soup up around that. So burnout. I just posted, that might be my theme for April. This is April 24 as I'm recording this. And I'll share my backstory, since we're here together in this digital space, across space and time. I was diagnosed with PTSD in, let's see, that would be 2008, which sounds like a very long time ago, and yet so many of the ramifications for those who suffered through that economic crisis, and I basically did not know when I left academia. I didn't realize the extent of the economic crisis. So I actually left, I believe it was 2009. But yeah, burnout. A therapist that I was seeing, and I recommend everyone have a wonderful therapist, she had treated many people who were affiliated with the community college that where I taught. And she's the one who said to me, "You have PTSD." And I really remember just believing her. And I said, that's absurd. I haven't been in a war. I haven't, you know, suffered like bombings or anything. Right? And she said, oh, you don't have to have had experiences like that, limited to that. She said, you have all the symptoms of PTSD. So that blew my mind. And she's the one who really urged me and helped me to understand that there wasn't anything wrong with me, that there were some people who were, you know, we use the word toxic now. And yeah, they were toxic, basically poisonous people. And sadly, that does exist. And they may not be able to help themselves, honestly. I don't know. But so what is burnout? I will define burnout as the post that I wrote today about it on LinkedIn, and I'm going to put a version on my blog as well. I wrote that burnout is sneaky because it often hits high achieving. I'm going to talk about female burnout. It often hits high achieving women, goal-oriented, driven women. And we want to meet the bar. We want to excel. We like what we do, but it's the bar is set so incredibly high. Now here I am going to get into some gendered language that some newfangled folks may not like, but I, from my experience as a woman, I do feel that women, their bodies tend to really show the burnout maybe more clearly, or at least our bodies will speak to us. Often there'll be a nagging issue, strange issue, hair falling out, skin problems. The doctors may or may not give a diagnosis, but what it is your body is crying out for some sort of relief from the stress, from the unhappiness, from the lack of fulfillment. Because if you're that close to burnout, those are some things that are going to be happening. Okay? Let me know in the comments if you can relate to that. Right? We're putting away our garlic. And this is going to be a simple soup. But whenever I've done, I like to call it Tuscan white bean and kale. I don't know how Tuscan it really is. But in my mind, it's Tuscan. So the beans are quite soft, maybe a little softer than they should be, but we will work with that. So burnout is sneaky. You think you're doing fine, and then you realize that you're having, you know, health problems. You are irritable. These are some of the symptoms. You are just not happy. And the main burnout symptom that I noticed, and this took me only after the fact that I noticed this, it's almost, is it a symptom or is it part of the problem, part of the cause, is the lack of joy and the decrease in the amount of things that are pleasurable that one does. So when you're approaching that burnout level, you'll notice that you tend to do less things just for joy, pleasure, relaxation. Okay? And that's literally how you know you're approaching burnout, because it's become all about what I put in air quotes, needs to be done, what you should do, what you have to do, right? That's what starts to take over your life. So that's some of my criteria for someone is approaching burnout, okay? Let me know what you think about that. Now, solving burnout is...
I think the best thing, clearly it's best to avoid getting to that stage, because often when we get to the burnout stage, as I mentioned, we've got physical problems, our emotional resourcefulness is down. It's just, it's not a good look, okay, is what I can say. And I'm laughing because that sounds very flippant, but it really is the experience. It's just not a good look. And I'd love to know your experience. Have you ever suffered from burnout? Have you ever had burnout yourself? Have you seen it with a loved one or partner? Now, offering a solution, part of a solution anyway, a big part of a solution. So when I left academia, to wrap up my story, well, there's a part of it I'll leave out, but it's quite funny. But after some odd things to rebound, one of the things that I eventually went back to was meditation. And even while I was burning out, I actually went and studied a program out at Spirit Rock in California about combining yoga with mindfulness. I don't know if they're doing the program anymore, but they did it for about 6 or 7 years. It might have evolved or changed, but anyway, mindfulness meditation. And to put out an offer to you, I'm putting my onions and some tomatoes in with the beans now to kind of bring that all together, my almost instant soup. So I do offer one-on-one coaching where I help to, one, it's really mindfulness meditation. I call it soulful mindfulness because I do mix in other things, especially acupressure potent points to help stimulate our chi and build our energy up. And the reason that's necessary, one, it breaks up, it takes the mindfulness from just being mind, 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 and just, I find, makes it more interesting, more integrated. But there's a lot of loving self-care that we can do for ourselves, for our healing, with acupressure. So when I did leave academia, one of the things I did as I was preparing to leave was I retooled as a massage therapist, of all things, because, as you know, if you're listening to this podcast, I am very much into wellness, holistic health, and balanced lifestyle. Lifestyle that really nurtures us. And so that is where I learned acupressure to perform on clients. But then, especially during COVID, saw the benefit of having that as a tool one can teach, so that folks who are under a lot of stress or have a particular health condition can, you know, support themselves. Whoops, a lid just fell into my soup, but I got it out. You know, they can support themselves and do their self-care and some healing. So if that sounds like of interest to you, really getting your meditation practice back, again, in service of your transition, perhaps transition out of academia, or perhaps transition to another institution, and or if you're not an academic, very similar pressures, though I'm very familiar with the pressures on academics, but it's not so different. So if you're interested in at all working with me to have a series of mindfulness sessions, and it is a planned out program. It's currently an 8-week program, and it would be one-on-one, and we would get together via Zoom, obviously really tailored to your schedule. That's the wonderful thing about working one-on-one with someone, not having to fit into a class time, okay? So if you're interested, head on over to my website, intheflowofmagic.com, and you'll find a contact form, and you'll find a page under coaching or work with me, and, you know, you can get in touch. And I know that It can be a great help. Many of us, what I find many people do is they meditate with a guided, you know, meditation from YouTube or an app, and that is wonderful. But the analogy I'd give to you is that's like if you think of an artist versus filling in a coloring book. It might be a mindful coloring book, which is wonderful, but everything's preset for you and you're just sort of filling in versus starting from scratch and being able to create what you want. And so that's the difference in studying mindfulness with me. We'll learn about four different practices and also how to incorporate mindfulness in daily life. And there's so much science about it. Head on over to my website and I'll put in the show notes a link to all the studies showing the profound benefits of meditation. Yep, and that was Percival. So I think we're going to end there. He's telling me it's time to go. He's about to eat some freshly baked bread from a local bakery. So I've got to go. Be well and see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.